Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, just some shameless self-promotion to start off the podcast. A bookish comedy show is in its final week at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So if you want to see it at Storyville, grab tickets before April 10th. You can buy them online and I would love to see you there. Now on to the show.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture, adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George DeMorellis. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show, we have comedian Jared Goundrey. How are you doing, Jared?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm sitting in your beautiful apartment in South Yarra. Absolutely gorgeous. You've got one of the world's biggest TV to lounge room ratios I've seen in a long time. I mean, it's absolutely massive. And I'm really happy for you that you've done that.
Thank you for being happy for me. Look, like I said, it is quite large for the room. But once you sit there, you're like, okay, it could be bigger. Really?
I mean, if you're going to enjoy the narrative that is proper cinema and storytelling, you might as well do it to the extreme. You know, because I always pick particular films that I'll go see in the cinema because I think it's worthy to tell that story. You know, like I just recently saw Batman. We're not going to go into that too much, but I was like, I'm really glad I saw this at the cinema. All the decisions that they've made on framing and setting and just like filling the room full of like extras and all of that stuff that the behind the scenes people do really needs just a big screen. And I was really appreciative that I've done that. So if you got that in your lounge room, then it just...
Well, not, that's what I mean, not yet.
You gotta go bigger.
I got to go bigger.
Well, I mean, I would be happy with that.
But. Yeah, look, I'm happy with it, but you know, I can still see my peripheral vision isn't full yet. So, but we're not here to talk about Batman. So I guess we'll fill in a whole stuff about you. Yeah, your comedy career and stuff like that. And you've got a very interesting history, I think, that will be very fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But let's start off with your book of choice and jump around from there.
Well, it's the most recent book that I've read, which is when we were discussing about, because I've been a reader for, you know, my entire life. And to pick sort of a book was hard. And when you said, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? This is what it's about. It's about a book. I'm like, well, I'm actually just kind of midway into this meaty sort of book at the moment. So the book Sapiens.
By Yuval Noah Hariri.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really take notes of authors too much in the nonfiction realm. In fiction, I sort of fanboy around them, but I feel like in nonfiction, they don't get the pedestal.
That's crazy.
But because they've done more work.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm not sure. They had to research, whereas the other people just made it up. I don't know if that's more or less work.
But I do think, like, as in one, it's important that they're reputable, like in terms
so
of-
So important.
One doesn't matter at all what they are like.
I would be spewing if I wrote a book and someone read it and was like enjoying it so much and telling other people about it. They're like, oh, who wrote it? And they're like, I got no idea. But then the money would comfort me, I guess. It's what the only book I think that's really shaken me emotionally in my unimportance in the world. Now, I'm a history fanatic. I have researched history since I was 10. I'm in no way, shape or form a historian. I am just a sort of a fangirl of history and everything that's come before me. And if history was the iPhone, then this book is about the packaging. Like this book is like the box. And it is like human history at 80,000 feet. It is so upsetting, the fact that they are talking about sort of me on a species level. And the time frame of this book, it starts around sort of 100,000 years ago to present day and then leaves it open to be like, well, what's next? Isn't that sad?
Why?
On the spectrum of time, right? I think I'm pretty important now sometimes. But then there was someone like me 80,000 years ago that had the same concept, right? That they meant something. And I don't know if we do, which is super liberating and also like confronting. And it's really beautiful in a way. This book has been, oh, it's just to look at the mundane of the species just kind of getting to where we are now is like, how do you feel about it?
I feel like that's a very specific way of looking at the whole thing. Because I do think it strips away any external meaning that you want to supply to it all. It really like it by breaking it down to its most like scientific, I don't even though it's not really that word, but that is the word. Like it's macro. Yeah, it's macro. So it just treats it like everything we're doing from the point of view of survival mm-hmm. and like stuff like that, rather than from the point of view of like it meaning anything. Mm. So like, I mean, it goes into quite a lot about how every institution is just made up and invented in.
It's one of the big sort of takeaways for me, I think they called it sort of the belief in common myths, like money and religion were the two standouts for me. And money doesn't exist, but it does as long as we all think it exists. And it does exist when we think it exists. But if we don't, then it collapses. And then a lot of other things exist, like pain and suffering and all that sort of business. Like I'll give you an example. I used to be in the military. I was part of a UN mission to a country called East Timor. And what happened over there is they had a government sort of coup, and then they ran out of money, their economy collapsed. And in a couple of weeks, they couldn't pay anyone. So they couldn't pay any emergency services. So they immediately went, well, I'm going to go home. And then there wasn't any police. So when there's no police, you can just do whatever you want. So everyone's broke and there's no consequences. And within like 6 to 8 weeks, the whole like just wound back the clock like 10,000 years. It was insane. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was like, well, it was
gorgeous.
We came in afterwards to fix it up. It was like that could happen anywhere.
Blown away by your use of the word gorgeous, but yeah, that could happen anywhere. Yeah.
Couldn't it? Like I look at what happened pandemic and like condense that into a week. Right. If you just go through all of the feelings and the emotions and the, because what happened over there is people didn't have any money. Money didn't mean anything. So then all of a sudden you start taking stuff from other people. And then when you start taking stuff from other people, those people would want to protect that stuff. So then they use violence, and then that violence makes like a, you know, like a blood sort of rivalry. And it took like 10 years to fix something that happened in weeks. And
was it just weeks of the breakdown?
There's so much bad blood. Like in that time, everyone burnt their places to the ground. Like there was homelessness. There was just no economy. You know, you think every sort of democratic place has problems with their economy, but they didn't have one. They had to be reinstalled. And I always looked at that. It didn't took me like 10 years later to even figure out like what happened. And I still don't know, but it's like, that's humans. That is humans, right?
Yeah.
And we go fast forward and we go, oh, look, there's a bit of a spicy flu around. People, not you and me, we're obviously clever, but like a portion of society went kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are. And I think we will never escape that. And this book looks at sort of like from animals to the, I think they called it the cognitive revolution, which is the sort of the big breakout of being like, oh, we can do stuff, which took so long. I mean, when you look at dates, it's easy to look at like, you know, 10,000 BC to 20,000 BC. You're like, oh, that's pretty close. It's like, no, it's not. Like think of 10,000 years back from where we are now is huge, right? But like in that time, they're like, yeah, and they found a bit of metal. It's like, that's a lot of generations kind of treading water, slowly just having a chat, slowly remembering things. They're like, we should write this down. They're like, what does that mean? They're like, I don't know. We should invent that first. Because we are talking on a microphone into a computer about a book that someone has written about our own species from the start. That was not possible 100 years ago. And like people were barely literate a couple of hundred years ago, right? So I look at this and I go, well, fuck, like in the entire spectrum of society, we're doing stuff now that people in 500 years will think is absolutely outrageous. And we don't know what that is. Because we're just doing our best, right? I think it's probably going to be in the sort of mental health realm, I would think. I mean, money won't even be obsolete.
I think if I'm going to make a prediction from now, because it's obvious already, it'll be eating meat.
100%. I think that's very good. I think that is a very, very good observation.
Yeah.
We're just doing mass torture.
Yeah. I think once the price changes, I think what's happened in the vegan realm in the last 10 years is incredible. But when that capitalism really takes that on board and goes, hey, we've found a really cheap way to do all of these things, the mindset will change. Yeah, I don't know. At some stage and point in time, everything's got to change. At some point in time, the Colosseum was winding up and there would have been like a group of hardcore fans that have been like, what do you mean? Like, it's fine. This game's gone soft. Like, we can't kill people anymore. Like, and it's like, it's always changing. Bloody, exactly. Well, can we just have them? But like, there's blood rule and it's, I find packaging myself into that entire thing really confronting. Like, because I'll probably... I mean, it's more than likely I will be not be remembered. I think that's inevitable, which is fine. Because if you believe that we're just all in the species and there's no afterlife, then what are you doing anyway? But then, yeah, so this whole book's like shook my entire...
Oh my God, it feels like this book introduced you to nihilism.
I don't want to say that word around people. I don't want to be at the pub being like, well, nihilism. Because every time someone does that to me, I'm like, get out of it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't resist just saying this fun fact as well when you talked about the Colosseum and about how like it changed over time, because sometimes you can have too much faith in people as well, because one of the examples I think of is the public executions were only cancelled because people in power were like getting more, at least in when it first started being considered bad, that was because of the spread of teachings where people were like, this is bad. So the actual people in charge were the ones who said, you know what, this is morally wrong, so we're going to stop it. But the whole time, the public never was against public
executions. Oh, the mob would have loved
it. They stopped, like literally, it wasn't like an increasing of values of everyone. It was just a top down, we can't do this anymore. And everyone was like, up to the last second, the public was like, what? Come on, we love this.
Try put your mind into like 200 years ago, okay? And there's going to be a hanging. It's Saturday. We've been working all week, mate. Flat out, hard it's as.
Some opposite religion person?
Oh, delicious. A Protestant, yum. Ah. And so Friday afternoon, they're like, what are you doing tomorrow? And I'm going to go get a couple of drinks and go down to the hangings. Are you keen? And I'm like, probably, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, if I can hit that guy or woman with a tomato, like I'm telling everyone about that.
Yeah.
About the tanning place the next week. You know what I mean? Like I'd be into that, yeah, I think. Yeah.
No, you definitely, because it's like, it's just spectacle and you're just removing, you think the person deserves it.
Yeah.
So it's good spectacle. You're like, yeah.
Also, I can't read. So I don't have stories. I missed out on the last execution. I heard about it. I was like, oh, I had FOMO. I was a kid, all I wanted to be was a knight. Oh, I was almost a knight. Yeah, I could close my eyes. I could swing a stick around in the backyard and I was as good as a knight. My imagination was amazing.
Okay.
I'm very happy about that. As I get older, I read about knights and I'm like, oh, these guys are rich kids. If I went back then, I wouldn't be a knight. I would be at best the guy that puts the knight's armor on and then he slaps me if I sort of like get his hair in it a bit.
Yeah. Now you need cash to be a knight.
Oh,
they were training like, and stuff.
That horse is like equivalent of a Lexus.
You know?
And it's just, like I'd be the guy, you know, they throw the chamber pot out the window. Best case scenario, I'm who it lands on. It's just depressing and it's just... Where are we in the spectrum of the whole thing, George?
Now?
Mm.
Oh, we're pretty good now, I reckon.
I wouldn't want to live in any other time but now.
Yeah. 100%.
It would be difficult to get along with anyone that isn't from now.
I don't know about that. I think people, I actually have a view that the general makeup of people is quite similar across the centuries. So like the society changes for them. So like a progressive person 200 years ago versus a progressive person now is obviously completely different.
Yes.
But they've got the same personality traits of wanting to do the right thing and trying to be on that edge of the spectrum. So like a lot of their personality traits are actually be quite similar, even though the baseline, which is like, you're like, oh, eating meat is bad. They're like, killing your friend is bad.
Like, as in, so like a lefty in the Roman Empire.
Yeah, yeah. Lefty in the Roman Empire is like look, at least knock them out before you kill the people in the stadium.
Yeah, like, crucifixion, weird. Like, yeah, you can hear them scream. Why don't we just dip them in tar? Like it's much better something like that.
So yeah, so basically their outlook's actually quite similar in a weird way. It's just in this much more, the society has molded it into the version that it is there. But I don't know about you, but I don't spend most of my time just vibing over someone's extreme political views anyway. So.
No, I don't. I struggle with the entire thing because I know, you know that I watched my grandparents recently try and send an email and I felt for them, you know, because they were kind of, they were borderline really shit at it.
You patronizing?
Right. And these people, like my granddad came back from a war and sort of like built a place with his mates and then had heaps of kids. Like he's done stuff. and now he's not equipped for this world. It's moved past him. What is that technological sort of like development for you and I that we're not going to be able to keep up with?
Okay. I really need to, like, firstly, the world's moved past him. And what's that for us? It already sounds like your actual concern is for yourself rather than your grandpa.
Definitely.
And secondly, he's still getting by. He's all right. You're the one. See, didn't you learn this from Sapiens? You're attaching value to sending an email. What are you doing?
That the world's already gone by. Has it or has it not? So you think it's just because you're just with your own kind, as in like that social group. So
what's going by? You can still get along with your friends. You can hang out. You can do what you want. There's stuff in there you don't understand. You don't understand probably, I'm sure, some things now in technology.
There's a lot I don't understand.
I don't know what your view is on crypto, but like that's a complicated sort of stuff. Or, you know,
I don't know
how the satellite works.
People,
I know it does.
Anyone who talks to me about crypto, I automatically kind of think it's a conspiracy. That's how far I'm not. I've already started. Is it? Do you know anything about it?
Everything. It's a racket, top to bottom.
Is it one of those things that you got to get into early?
Get into early because it's a Ponzi scheme. So, and the only plus side now, getting in now, is that it's a Ponzi scheme that's got a lot of money in it. So it could go for a while. Because like I said, tulip mania, when all the tulips became inflated, ridiculous, you're never going to make more money than being out just before the bubble pops. So as long as you get in before the bubble pops and get out before the bubble pops,
then you're good.
Then you're good. But guess what? You can't predict it and you're probably going to get screwed. And also the flaw to crypto is because you can pay to get out faster, if it collapses, the rich can get out faster than you, regardless of how well you've positioned. So you have to get out like extra early because you can pay in this blockchain to get your stuff done faster. So if you've got the cash, the capital, you can just move your thing quicker. So yeah.
Do you think money's real?
What are you talking about?
The whole thing, right? So aliens come down tomorrow and they're like, we don't know where you are. We got lost. What are you guys doing here? And they're like, hey, we got like this climate crisis. And they're like, that's good. You've hit that point. That's a good mark. You know, you'll get past that. Don't worry about it. And they're like, we got money. And they're like, fuck, the hell is that? And they're like, we just exchange stuff for goods and services. They're like, cool, we got that. And then we got interest rates. And they're like, fuck, like, is it real? Is it even a thing?
I mean, the analogy really didn't help highlight the point because it's exactly like it says in the book. That's why he invented a term, which I actually quite respect, which is like, you've got objective reality and you've got subjective reality.
Yes.
And then you've got intersubjective reality,
yes,
which is made up things that are made real by the fact that they exist in our brains.
Mm.
And that can be mind blowing because have you read The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins?
Oh, no, but I love Richard Dawkins a lot.
Yeah.
You get me and Richard Dawkins on YouTube. Oof,
yeah.
I go deep.
Certain stuff I agree with him, but other stuff not so much. When it comes to anything based on science, I love him so much. Outside of that, I feel like he's gone a bit crazy in the last couple of years.
Do you think that's power?
I think it's the worst parts of yourself getting indulged and you not getting corrected for it. So,
yeah, okay. Like
if you've got certain views that are a little bit like that, and then all of a sudden the people around you benefit from you having that view, then they can really shield you from maybe seeing other views as well. So it can actually benefit. And of course, you've got the classic, if you've just got enough money and intelligence, you can sometimes fall into holes, which can be very confusing from the outside.
Let's go back 400 years. Do you think you would be okay being born into like a
monarchy?
And do you think from a young age, getting handed the keys to that Ferrari, that you would crash it or you would not?
What are these questions? Is it you have?
I'm interested in your own, like, how would you go with the ultimate power?
But like, if that happened, I wouldn't be me. I'd be that person.
Who would that person be?
I don't know. Because it's not them.
Come on.
It's like, because then if you got born in another place at another time, you're going to have different stuff. Like you'll be similar. For me, to be honest, I probably would struggle because I don't think I have the conniving to do well in a monarchist system.
Good.
Because,
I like this. So you think you're too...
I think I'm more keen on kicking back.
Yeah. Okay.
So like if I was like, oh, I've got all this power and stuff, I'd be like, perfect. Let's just make sure everything's okay. But I don't want to be busy.
Sure. But then other rivals would eat away at your territory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's I don't have the grand ambition in that sense, I think, because I'd much rather like read some books.
This is why I think comedians are the best people, because we are.
The
best people, because you know how like rock stars will eventually like sort of die sexually because they can't, like they do a big show and it's amazing. This is why Vladimir Putin's insane, because you give me $1 billion and then let everyone say yes for a year, I'm automatically worse as a person. Times that by 20 years and I'm insane, right? And then you give me sort of like an aging sort of military with like weird territorial ambitions and I am having a party. But I think comedians, we are always sort of shackled by our material that we can't, it humbles us as we go along. So we can't ever get too crazy.
I mean, there's no way that you have thought this through, surely. Because like,
no matter
your stance, there's definitely a comedian that you would consider crazy right now. Whether you're like left or right or not caring and neutral, any of those stances, there is a comedian who right now is a crazy version of one of them to you, surely.
E.g.?
Like as in if you want to go the right wing sort of stuff where people start going deep off that end.
Mm.
So
it's a funny deep end though, that one. It entertains exactly. me.
It entertains, yeah. So you always got that. And then you got like, I'm trying to think of an example. Left-leaning is harder because I have a very specific view of what left is and most people aren't left anyway. They just say they are.
Explain.
But people like to think it's a...
Do you think it's a trend?
I think economics aren't treated with the seriousness of what leftism really is rather than like the more other features, which are super important. But I always think that the class structure side of things isn't appreciated whilst also understanding the importance of economics and the importance of finance and how that is tied into society. So like trying to balance those two in your head where you're like, this is bad, but also I can see why it's needed and how it is necessary for certain things.
Do you think it's like punk rock where like other people that are punk rock don't look down on other people that aren't punk rock enough? So like if you're like ultra left, then you see someone that is kind of left, but isn't left enough for you, you kind of like attack them.
That does happen a lot with the left, it looks like.
Does it?
I don't do that, but it's a case. Sometimes that's an understandable mistake because sometimes people think that they're part of the cause, but they're actually like the opposite. And the problem with left is comes with a inherent, especially now, there's a more obvious smugness. I think actually the right is way more smug than people realize because they're just completely close-minded to things and they don't realize that that's smug in the most, the worst
smug.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they glory in not being intelligent, weirdly enough. But then they love people who have the trappings of intelligence who aren't actually that smart either. So it's very strange.
Do you think people that say I'm in the middle are actually on the right?
Yeah.
100%. I agree with you.
Yeah. No, it's because they don't even understand what that is.
Yeah.
Like which middle of where?
They're like, oh, I sort of sit in the middle, which means, you know, you want to be like, oh, I like progress, but I still want to do the funny accent. You know, like I think that's it, right?
Look, that sums me up too, to be honest. That one, I think we all want to do the funny accent.
Yeah,
what these people don't realize is that if we get progressive enough, you can do funny accents again. The reason you can't do it right now is because we're not there.
Oh, so you're thinking...
All we need to do is be fully equal in every way. Look, you can do any white guy accent right now. No one cares. You can do a Greek accent. No one cares.
Yeah, true.
So if we just get progressive enough where everyone's equal, then you can do all the accents again.
So you think in 300 years, we will be able to do all the accents again? Do you think I will be, as a white person in 300 years, I could do like a full Chinese accent?
Look, I'll be honest. You're pretty white.
I'm super white.
You're pretty white. Like it'll be me first, then you, I think, in terms of-
so I got to, damn it. Yeah, that's right. Because I've had my time.
You've had.
But I've grown up in an era where I'm the Colosseum, you know? And I'm like-
White people, the Colosseum.
Yeah, but my uncles and my parents, they still think they're on the top. Right. So I'm changing of the guard for them, but they don't get it. But I'm trying to tell them it's okay. We don't have to call the cheese that. And, but they're like, this is outrageous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fine. And they're like, because they're defensive.
It's interesting you're saying that.
I feel like that generation is defensive because, they know they're in the wrong, but they're too far into it. Cause like, I think the world would be a greater place if you just kind of admit stuff. Like I've said the N word heaps. Like I have sung along for a long time. Rap music was, I really enjoyed it. I grew up in Western Australia. I grew up in Perth. We didn't really have these left and rights when I was growing up. And I was just pumping them out, like having a good time, really enjoying it, you know, buying with money the records and you couldn't rip them off the internet. Like I was a fan. And now I go, oh, I can't do that anymore. And it's okay. I'm not a bad person. I've just did my stuff at the time. But I would be a bad person if I said, no, I'm going to do that. Because it's not hurting anyone now that I know. And that's the whole context, right? It's people like, you know, of my parents' generation. They will say things to me like, you know, about other cultures. They're like, we can say that because, you know, we had one of these people when I grew up and they didn't mind. And it's like, that's not them. That you can't base that entire thing off that. It's okay to not be defensive. It's okay to not be a good person when you don't know. But once you do, that's when you got to change your mindset. Otherwise, you'll get left behind and then you'll be like, the Colosseum's okay when it's not.
Mm.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I agree. I think you could almost make a case. The fact that you don't get it until if you got it, you wouldn't do it. So actually, it is a case where they don't actually get it. It's a case of confusion. So if you want to actually be nice about it, you could almost say, no, they don't actually fully grasp what is going on.
Yeah.
I know that's almost giving a clean slate. Don't get me wrong. There's definitely racists in there as well. People who actually think the people are worse. But there's definitely plenty of people who'd like, yeah, just a different time they grew up in and they don't understand how it's changed. And that's understandable in a weird way as well. Because
that doesn't make them evil.
No, I don't. And
it's not mutually exclusive.
I think it's a case. It's not mutually exclusive. That's what I'm saying. This isn't the broad brush. Everyone's involved in this. But I think a lot of the time, what people can sometimes who get too upset about that stuff, which you should if it has any real world, I can understand getting caught up. But like, I think the case where they're not being malicious, they just don't understand.
Yeah, it's almost like a naiveness.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like the classic for me, I think, is gay marriage. I feel like that was a very clear generational switch there. And that's like, I don't think any of them, like a lot of them just don't. So they're just like,
I just didn't get it.
I'm used to, and that's it. Like, as in, and I think if they just hung around like a lot, and don't get me wrong, there would be some bigots definitely involved. But
what do you think that next issue will be for us of people
of our
age?
You love trying to predict the future.
I love it. It's all I think about. It's amazing because I want to know where I'll be. You know, I plan to live for 130 years. You
wow.
know?
Okay.
Well, I think I will.
You think you will?
I think so.
How old are you now?
I'm 35.
Right.
So that's 95 to go.
And why do you think you will?
I think I'll be crafty on getting like new medical treatments.
Right. Because like right now, there's absolutely no evidence.
I look forward to proving you wrong. Like, I look forward to it. Yeah. Because I think this is why we've got to look after the earth as well. Because when we finally trash this joint and they send 1,000 people on a ship to Mars to recolonate, like I'm not on it. I'm not getting on it. It's just not me. Like I'm not in the top 1,000 people of the planet. Right? So that's why you got to look after this place.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone who's sitting around here being like, it's fine, we'll go to Mars, isn't going. Because the people that are going, no, we can save it, are going to make it. Right? But if you're going to start a new like sort of planet anyway, you need to probably bring some people that are dumb because you can't start a society with all smart people, right?
I mean,
who's going to change the sanitary bin? You know, like we need...
You can take it in turns, like around the house.
Like a roster?
Yeah.
Everyone's too busy working on like... terraforming stuff. They're like, I'm busy, like my work, and they'll kill each other. Because we need the top percent of humans, right? This is what I'm learning from the species. Needs the bottom part, right?
I think you, to tie it back to the book quickly,
mm.
So Sapiens, he also wrote a sequel.
Oh, I can't wait to get it, Homo Deus. Deus yeah.
yeah. So he kind of goes into this a bit.
Wow. Okay.
A little bit. Like a little bit, he touches. I thought Homo Deus was actually very good, but
better.
It's different. It's more of a history. So this is more a history. So Sapiens is a history of like people and like their place, how these institutions grew over time and how their mentalities came over time. But Homo Deus is more, I guess, a look at humanism as the philosophy and how that's like impacted our views towards each other and how that's changed and how it's changing right now and how it could change in the future.
Interesting.
It just projects forward some of the stuff that thanks to technology and this philosophy we have now that we can't take for granted that could change completely in another 100 years. The example that he says is like genetic engineering means you can just make people better, arguably. So like before you needed a population that was to do stuff. But the fact is we've got technology advances now, which mean that a large chunk of the population could be potentially redundant because once you get accounting software and all this stuff, like you're going to have, so, it's not just physical stuff. It's like every IT stuff as well. Like we're not talking, oh, just the truckies are going to lose. It's like everyone is going to lose their jobs. Like they're going to be redundant. So then if you combine that with genetic engineering, you can quite hypothesize that actually people power is going to disappear in terms of anything. It's like any country's actually best way to get ahead would be to focus on just getting 5 super freak geniuses and then automate their industry and just forget their people. This isn't happening right now, but you've got a potential issue here politically where there's no will anymore to support the people because you don't need them anymore.
So obviously,
there's a complete change in society.
Obviously, our financial setup's going to have to go through some really tough times before it goes into the next glorious step, I would imagine, right? Because if people will stop, let's say they stop working and the tax system of that falls its ass out. Like there's going to have to be a really big sort of tough decision-making process. Like, you know, when the Roman Empire fell, it was black for a bit, right? It was dark. We're going to like have a real tough time for a little bit to go to the next glorious step.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe. So you've read history. You love history.
Love it.
Do you have a favorite history?
As in period in time? I like weapons, not like using them, but so I like the hilarious arms race of the medieval time. Where they're like, we got the little rings and we're going to put lots of rings together. And then they're like, well, great, we'll make little sharp things that go in there. They're like, we'll put more on there until everyone was kind of like a walking sort of tank. And then the gun just made people wear like red hilarious pants. To me, that's quite funny. And I like the steps are very clear in that because we're seeing that happen right now in what's happening in the Ukraine. We're seeing the tank become obsolete because it's worth millions of dollars, takes ages to make, and missile technology has come to a point where I know how to use these missiles for my time in the military. I could teach you in an hour and you can pop out of a window and like whack a tank.
And it blows it up.
And they're becoming death traps with burning people inside of them.
Because you can't even like, because the technology you don't miss.
No. Yeah. So that's going to happen. Like make that bigger and you go, well, what's the other tank variants? There you go, well, that's the ship. Okay, so once that missile becomes, which sort of exists in hypersonic sort of targeting thing, then that balance of power changes. So we're in a period of changing through technology because military technology is the thing that drives for most of our existence things forward, I think.
I don't know about it. It's just what defines what becomes forward. Yeah, because the power that has it is going to make the rules.
And it's, you know, there's the aeroplane's a really good example of this where war has pushed that forward gigantically. Sort of the Wright brothers going, and then when they had trench warfare, that like brought it to a standstill and they went, well, if we get these, we invest a lot of time and research and development and competition between rival powers into things. Like we're on Mars now, which is completely, like not humans, but like we are sort of, and that is not possible without nuclear weapons. And that technology and going, how do we get these rockets to where we want them? And they're like, they're hand in hand.
I don't know. I know that's like the classic thing, but I feel like I think in an actual war, one of the pluses is obviously you got to focus on it. So you've got resources and stuff going towards it. So in that
definitely
sense,
focus on it. Yeah.
And like, but even the people are scared and they do it. That's one of the misleading things I think when people are like, oh, like military spending, it's the wars are good for a country in terms of it makes people work. But it's like only good because something like World War II or World War I, there actually was a unified mental focus on it. But like any war now, it isn't the same because no one's scared. No one's like actually focusing on it. When I say no one, I do of course mean these completely detached first world countries that don't have to deal with what's going on. So I think straight away that attitude that it focuses on people just isn't there. So it's more just like, yeah, they're just spending $1 trillion on this stuff. But then you're like, well, we don't have the alternate history where the country's developed enough where we don't, I'm not saying that it doesn't help, but like where then it just went into a whole bunch of different industries and actually support a whole bunch of stuff because.
Well, you look at the development of the countries of Japan and Germany post 1945, which weren't allowed to have sort of large, modern, far like ranging sort of militaries, and they became superpowers in different areas.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, and don't get me wrong, that's because they could piggyback on the technology done during those times.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just like the point is, like, firstly, you could easily argue from a historical perspective that the military industrial complex that came into existence in America, especially due to World War II, was whilst good in a short term window, you could almost see it now and being like, actually, overall, maybe considering the breadbasket and the amazing country that America was, maybe it wasn't that good from a 50-year perspective. Maybe you take a step back, you're actually like, actually, this probably was not as good as if they didn't do that. Like maybe, and we don't know. Or maybe it's the only thing that could have worked, but like, and you could be like, there's certain things that were put in place back then where you could very much look at now and be like, this is kind of directly related to that in terms of the way the people are maybe not in as good a position as they would have been.
Because we look back on history and do that now. Like one of our favorite historians, sort of Dan Carlin, has talked about this when that someone says, Genghis Khan was good for stuff. And it's like, he says one of my favorite quotes, which is, that's like shooting an arrow and writing it and drawing a bullseye around it. Yeah. You know, because that wasn't his intention. He was like, I need to get me some more women. Like it was different. So fast forward the clocks, people are going to write that World War II history about all the good things that came out of it. Mm. Once the emotion is gone.
Well, I feel like they kind of do it now as well. Like, but
do you think that archaeologists in the future will look through our Instagram pages?
I feel like this whole episode is just you being like, do you reckon? I've never had this kind of interaction with someone on this show before, but it makes sense with your love of Sapiens, yeah.
Because I think we look back on history now with a grain of salt and we go, hey, Julius Caesar, 2,000 years ago, invaded Gaul and he wrote a diary and we have that diary. But we got to have a look at it because he's like, yeah, anyway, so I smashed like 300,000 and you're like, it wasn't, it was like 50 and that's fine. You know, we get it. We're doing things online now that aren't quite true. So our great, 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 great grandchildren are going to do their family tree and they're going to get to our part of it. And they're going to look at our social media pages, which I assume will still exist. Will they?
I don't know about that. Can you even go on MySpace anymore?
I think famous people or historical peoples will.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Definitely not the same.
Yeah.
But I think there's more chance of our lives being known than a peasant from...
Yeah, 100%.
So people will look through that and they won't know whether it's true or not. They'll be like, oh, at the time it was a trend. They're like, what's a trend? And they're like, it was a thing where you did a weird dance. And it's like even our grandchildren will be able to see that.
Yeah, but like, again, there's another thing. I've actually done a stand-up bit about this. It's one of those things where everyone's always like, oh, our grandkids aren't going to believe what we're doing, you know, when they look back, you know, at us. And it's like, they're going to be just you again, younger. Like, as in, so they're going to be like, of course you were doing that trend. We're doing that trend now. Like, they're not going to be confused by any of it. Like, as in, you look at your grandparents now, and you're just like, oh, they're a bit stale and stiff. So if anything, your kids are going to just be more of whatever you think you're doing weird is going to be weirder. Like, isn't like, oh my God, it's going to be so weird. And it's like, no, they're not. They're going to be like, everyone thought you dealt with the fresh ones at the time. Your grandparents were like, oh, how crazy is the box step? You know?
There's a really great Roman philosopher that essentially wrote this, but I don't know who he is, so just trust me. But he wrote this bit that was like, the generation this day is stuffed, like words to that effect. You know, they don't listen and they're crazy. And like everything that we've done before is gone because of this opinion. So that's the march of time, just keeps going, right? Just keeps on going.
And that's what I mean. So even with the forward projection from now, people can fall into that trap. Even though everyone gets that about the previous one, they don't realize that you're doing it forward as well. Like,
we are useless, aren't we?
Yeah, but they'll know, they'll have the info. They'll understand it in that sense. And maybe they won't in like long enough where no one remembers anymore, but I mean, probably won't be around.
So I think after reading this book, Sapiens, I feel more useless in a great scale. Like in my life now, I feel so compelled to do whatever I want and sort of like challenge myself and keep myself on track and always grow what I'm doing, no matter what realm that would be in, because I think it doesn't matter. Because I'm like a slave to my species and in 1,000 years, I won't exist.
It doesn't matter. I mean, how do you justify it then? Why does this help you do it? I guess I mean.
In which part?
How does knowing that it's all meaningless help you to work harder and try to grow these things?
Because I've only got me. Like I'm the only thing that matters, right? And even that doesn't matter. So I can I'm in this like frail frame till I'm 130, right? And so I got to get 200 years out of it in that time frame, right? I went to Shane Warne's funeral the other day.
What, you're actually there?
Yeah. Huh,
hilarious.
My mate got tickets.
Yeah.
That's a great saying. It was hilarious. No, it was sad. But this guy near sold out the MCG at his funeral. Now, everyone I know put together couldn't sell out their funeral in that matter, okay? That guy, whether you like sport or not, lived in 52 years, about 180 years worth. Like he just packed it in and like loved it, I would assume. I think books like this remind me that it's not anything. It's all a bit silly.
It's such a specific...
Like I'm one of 7 billion and I got a pretty good roll of the dice up front. Like I got to go. Otherwise I'm a traitor to this entire thing.
You keep switching between like meaning and then not meaning because like it doesn't mean anything.
It's one and the same.
It's all made up.
Well, like think about this on a religious front because I believe I'm an atheist and other people aren't and that's completely fine. But whether there is an afterlife or not, it doesn't really matter because if there is and you are judged by your actions, you got to be good, right? And if there's not, and you only have this time, you got to give it a red hot crack because after that is just a vast nothingness until you are some form of soil. And that's how I think, that's why I live my life the way it is.
Look, I'm going to go out a limb.
Sure.
Are you afraid of death?
No.
That's interesting because your views seem to like almost go against that in some ways.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, well, I know you've been in the military. That's why I'm surprised. Like, but your views of like wanting to live so long and you're like concerned about the value of stuff. So that's what I'm actually wondering.
No, I wouldn't think I am. No? I don't want to die, but.
Have you been confronted with, like, I know you wouldn't have to talk about this, but is it something you actually had to, in terms of from the military point of view, is it something you ever had to deal with in front of you?
No, I mean, I think I've seen a lot of my friend, this is an interesting fact. So from 2001 to now on active service, doing military stuff, 41 people have been killed in action in Australia, Australians, 41 Australians have been killed in action. The number of suicides is 1,257 in the same time, right? Wow. Which is that an amazing figure?
That's I can't believe that doesn't get mentioned more.
There's a Royal Commission about it right now. So I've seen 12 of my friends commit suicide.
What?
From being in the military and doing stuff. Not seeing them, like, but, you know.
But you've 12.
I've had a lot of weird phone calls, you know.
Oh, my God.
And when it comes to death, it's like, oh, those people, they threw it away, tragically.
Yeah.
But it's gone now. Like, you don't have any other options. Mm-hmm. And you've just left your immediate people around you negatively affected. You haven't added anything to it. So I don't think I'm afraid to die. I mean, I'm so lucky that I chose to do what I wanted to do in life, because I've never been like, oh, is that bridge high enough? You know, like, I haven't had that thought, and I might be lucky. I might have a different genetic wiring that has allowed me to not do that.
To not fall into those kind of things, yeah.
Because that last 10 minutes must be like crazy or beautiful. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to romanticize stuff like that. But like, I think it's more, again, I think it's not clear thinking. I don't think it's clear thinking at all. Like, it's a chemical imbalance that's been exacerbated. I think, like, whether you didn't have that to begin with and you've gone through something which has traumatized you, and then you've just spent, obviously, maybe things have gone a certain way, which has then made that worse. That's kind of how I view it.
Imagine there's a green room after you live and the whole of your life was your set, and then everyone that's performed before you is there, and you walk out and everyone there goes, how'd you go? And you go, yeah, I crashed.
Okay, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Yeah, that is beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And then there's other people that went out there and they didn't have a great set. And they come back out there and then they're like, oh, how'd you go? And you're like, oh, they're right.
Oh my God, that's pretty good. I like that. That's fun.
I don't think this is anything.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. The whole thing is kind of a bit silly. Like, the sun will expand one day and suck everything that we've done into it.
I've got to say, this Sapiens book really did a number on you.
No, it's the best thing that it's really, as I said, I love history. I love the fact that some people really nailed it, you know, like, whether they wanted to or not, or that was luck, or they just had the right cards. And we talk about them today. Achilles is a good example of that.
Well, so that's
it's just
thing.
A madman, probably.
And when you say nailed it, because even with the Shane Warne comparison you did, I guess he got to be him, right? The most he could be. But like, you could argue, I mean, he did a lot and had a great time and played cricket, but he wasn't like, he had like 16 different things crammed in, you know what I mean? Like, as in, yeah. So really when you're saying that, you just look at someone who's done, been themselves.
He was the best Shane Warne that could ever happen, because before that, there wasn't such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I will be remembered, and that's fine with me. I'm completely cool with that. Are you cool with that?
I mean, I think I'll be remembered for a little bit, like, as in with your friends and family who are still alive, unless I'm last.
Yeah.
But after that, I'm like, who cares? Like, yeah, all right, maybe not remembered by your great-grandkids, but like.
Then what's it about?
What's it about? It's about being the best you can be right now.
There it is. Yeah. That's the whole thing. You got to, like, every day you got to wake up, you're like, that was a pretty good sleep. Like, I just had a really good time. And then, like, whoever you're sleeping next to at the time is like, oh, you were talking heaps in your sleep. And you're like, I don't remember. Like, you just got to have always just, and just try to be a good person about it. And like, don't just talk shit in the best way where you have fun, but you don't like mean anything by it and malice. And it's just, it's all going to be okay. The whole thing's fine. And the sun will expand and swallow it at the end. And it's great. I'm really happy to be involved.
Okay. I mean, that's actually quite a life affirming sort of attitude. We should probably just close it off there, I guess.
I mean, I do comedy as well, but
we haven't even gotten into the comedy.
It doesn't matter because.
Look, let's do a quick. From the comedy point of view.
Sure.
Because we want to finish off soon, I think I do want to go to the comedy side of stuff, because your journey from, and I just realized this is probably another 2 hours of talking, but from military to comedy, and that's because it was something you wanted to do with the comedy, obviously. Because I was going to talk about the comedy in the perspective of you loving history and whether that impacts your writing and stuff like that.
But also I'd like it to.
you'd like it to.
Yeah, when I get braver, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because I'm only a little bit, coming up to full 5 years in. So eventually I'll talk about what I want to talk about.
So what do you mean by that? Like right now you don't?
No, I'm doing my journey well. And I need to have credentials in my own self to then really snap him in half of my knee. You know what I mean? To really just go, oh, we're on now. Like, this is fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the way to do it? Like, so...
There's no way to do it. You just do... Like, Shane Warne didn't have a way. He just was the only Shane Warne that was worthy of being Shane Warne. So just do what you want.
I got to say...
There's no rules.
I didn't expect the Sapiens episode to involve so much talk of Shane Warne. But I'm here for it.
He's a great human. He was a great Sapien.
But it's funny you say that. So, like, because I will say, and you are probably one of, like, the more... You are a workhorse. You really... do the comedy stuff properly. You treat it like a proper job.
But what makes you say that?
Because I just see how hard you do with like finding your own path that can fund you whilst doing this whole career. It's like you do your rule stuff, you're going to state and you're doing it all very calculated, it seems like.
It's the only thing I want to do. So I got to do it properly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean,
I don't have any other time. I'm busy. I'm going to do this till I'm 129. Like I don't have any other time. I sat down, I think about it all the time because I love it. It brings me absolute joy. I get to have conversations with people like you. That's not me being like silly. Like that's beautiful. That's why I live in Melbourne. I only live for conversations. And I found that this is the best place to have conversations in the country. If I found a different place, I will move there tomorrow. Like I want to chat to people.
Throw us in the bin in a sound.
I'm here for this. I'm here. I like doing what I do. I've found something that I genuinely enjoy. I did a whole bunch of stuff I didn't. I'm really happy that I did that. I wouldn't change anything about my life. It's been full of heartache, pain, and beautiful times. And now I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm really objectively going, well, how do I do this not only better, but where's the next challenge? Like I need to, because I watched a set of mine like that I did 3 years ago and where I had gone, that's a good set. And I'm really glad I filmed it. I look back on it now, it was horrible. It was disgusting because my perspective, I changed. I can't wait to like see stuff I'm doing now that I hate. That means I'm doing well.
Yeah. It's always, a lot of people say that. And I always find it interesting because I'm like, do you mean, because like, I definitely think that with some of the stagecraft elements, which you see when you're earlier on, just that you're like, oh man, it's so obvious now. Like just the way I'm breathing, the way I'm moving, the way I'm putting likes in and stuff like that. That's, I always think of that. But with the material, all of the time, just like it's good. It's just like not quite there. Like it's very rare where I look back and I'm like, oh, you absolute. That is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
as in, it's disgusting. Like, it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Stagecraft, I do think that, but like with the other stuff.
But comedy's fun.
Not that like, I'm great. I'm just like, the ideas, I'm just not good enough for that, but I'm not like.
Comedy's amazing. I mean, I think I've always said sex is really fun and drugs are wicked, but comedy, there's nothing like that. It's the only time you're in the moment in life for myself. And like sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you'll be saying something on stage and your mind will be loading the next bit in like a magazine out of a weapon. And you can also go, well, I didn't say that last part. So I know that callback's not going to work. So I'm going to do this thing, but you're still talking. And then you can see someone in the audience that's really, and you were just hovering above yourself by like a millimeter. It's almost still when the audience is the silence between the laughs. You know, like when you're doing really well and it happens 1 in 100 times when it's like going so well that you can hear the laughs, but it's the bit that they're waiting for the next laugh. And in that is like pure stillness. It's like a pond in a cave and it's just delicious. And I love comedy so much, but if I find something in next week that's even better, I will never do it again. And I'll be like, I'm a skydiver now. I will abandon it and betray it. And I will change all of my socials to like Jared the Skydiver. And I will keep going.
I guess nothing means anything, so that's fine. Yeah. Just find the meaning you want.
One of the most enjoyable conversations that doesn't mean anything I've ever had.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I really like your mind.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to have to close it off there. I've enjoyed it a lot as well. It's been very interesting. I didn't even, like, we could have gone the stuff you learned in the military and how that applied to your comedy and stuff like that. People can assume. Let them draw their own inferences. It's fine. Do you want to give any shout outs to anything about what you're doing and stuff for audience to follow?
No, I want to give a shout out to the whole thing. I think like over the last couple of years, we haven't been able to do anything. And if you like going and catching up and doing book clubs, just do that. If you like jazz, like go do that. Like, don't go see me. Go see what you want to see or go see something that you haven't seen. I don't know. Like, just go do it. Don't worry about me. I don't mean anything.
Go live.
I don't mean anything. So don't.
Be you.
and that's all. So if you've listened and you've enjoyed, I'm happy for that.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Cheers, Jared.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Tsitis.
I'm Kayla Tsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.